there are some dire warnings about the future of oil prices. What's next? We'll tell you. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the 16th day of March. Thanks for being with us, everybody. In other news, as the price of oil goes down, President Biden calls for gas prices to decline as well. What will not decline are interest rates, and we'll share why. How is the invasion of Ukraine tied to new vehicle production? We'll share that story with you. More pressure coming to wealthy Russians, and it will hurt. We've got the Wall Street Report, and the hunger for meal kits, you know, that are delivered to homes, is not going well for a number of reasons. Let's go.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Thanks so very much for being with us again today. And by the way, you can follow us on Twitter all day, all night, because we're, like, always there. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. Well, there are some dire predictions about the future of the oil industry based on the fact that Russia could cease up to a third of its production. The International Energy Agency has said this would be the biggest supply crisis in decades. The Paris-based agency said Russia could slash its oil production by up to one-third in April. That's about 3 million barrels a day, as sanctions take hold and shipping companies shun its exports. Now, because of that reduction, global oil demand will likely exceed supply later this year. That's according to the IEA, causing energy prices to spike higher and global growth to be depressed. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are the only major oil producers that could add volume to help make up for lost supply from Russia. The world's second largest oil producer is, of course, Russia. Now, neither country has shown a willingness to up their production. But today, get this, West Texas Intermediate crude fell in price again, off by $1.34 to settle at $95.10 a barrel. So what's happening? Get this, U.S. oil supplies have increased. Thank you, high gas prices. You're just driving not as much, appears to be anyway. All of that, and Wall Street had a remarkable day today. I'll have those numbers for you in just a bit. Staying on the subject of oil and gasoline, the U.S. has more oil, the price of oil is dropping right now, and the White House is demanding that gasoline companies lower their prices as well. On Wednesday, President Biden used his bully pulpit to call out the tendency for gasoline prices to go up like a rocket when oil spikes, but only to drop like a feather when crude crashes. CNN is reporting that Biden fired off a tweet on Wednesday morning highlighting the painfully slow decline in gasoline prices in a bid to draw scrutiny to a decades-old long trend that critics say hurt consumers by failing to pass savings along to drivers. This is what he wrote, quote, "Oil prices are decreasing. Gas prices should too. Last time oil was $96 a barrel, gas was $3.62 a gallon. Now it's $4.31. Oil and gas companies should not pad their profits at the expense of hardworking Americans," end quote. The administration's focus on the intricacies of energy prices shows the level of frustration inside the White House with one of the central drivers of high inflation. Gas prices skyrocketed to record highs last week following a spike in crude oil levels not seen since 2008. Prices at the gas pump are going down, but only very gradually. The national average for regular gas dipped to $4.31 a gallon on Wednesday, according to AAA. That's down a penny from Tuesday and 2 pennies from Monday. That's despite the fact that Brent oil collapsed by 28% between the March 6 intraday peak and Tuesday's close. Well, the Fed raised interest rates by a quarter of a point, the first rise in rates since 2018. So what does all that mean for you? Market Insider is reporting that the hike will reverberate throughout the economy in the coming weeks. Lenders' rates are directly influenced by the Fed's benchmark, and when the central bank raises its own rate, borrowing costs around the country edge higher. That means all forms of borrowing, from car loans to credit card interest payments, are poised to get slightly more expensive. The rate increase officially reverses one of the Fed's main policy supports used to aid the virus-slammed economy. The central bank pulled rates close to zero in March of 2020 as the coronavirus spread sparked widespread lockdowns and froze economic activity across the country. The historically low rates helped people and businesses borrow cash at low costs, giving Americans a major support as the country slid into the deepest recession in nearly a century. But while cheap cash offered a bridge for struggling households, it also played a role in allowing inflation to hit the fastest pace in four decades. Low borrowing costs encouraged spending and helped demand rebound throughout 2021. Spending boomed, but supply chain issues struggled to keep up. The gap between the two led businesses to raise prices at a faster pace, kickstarting the inflation problem the country faces today. The big question is, will the raising of rates work? Well, it's too soon to tell, but this rate hike is only the first step, as the Fed indicated more hikes will follow. The unprovoked attack on Ukraine by Russia is rattling everything, including what could be a dramatic decrease in new vehicle production. How's that possible? CNBC is reporting that the automotive research firm, formerly known as IHS Markit, has downgraded its 2022 and 2023 global light vehicle production forecast by 2.6 million units for both years. The war has caused logistical and supply chain problems, as well as shortages of critical vehicle components. Most notably, many automakers source wire harnesses, which are used in vehicles for electrical power and communication between parts. They get it from, you guessed it, Ukraine. The problems add to an already strained supply chain due to the coronavirus pandemic and an ongoing shortage of semiconductor chips. European auto production is expected to experience the most disruption. The projection cut is 1.7 million units there, including just under 1 million units from lost demand in Russia and Ukraine. That compares to cuts in North America light-duty vehicle production. Those cuts amount to 480,000 units for 2022 and 549,000 units for 2023. Now, fewer cars being built means used cars, those prices, will again rise. You know, there's a massive yacht sitting at a dock in Norway. Why? Well, because nobody will refuel the boat that belongs to a wealthy Russian. And there is more pain coming. The Associated Press is reporting that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Attorney General Merrick Garland convened a multilateral task force known as REPO, R-E-P-O, one of several new efforts dedicated to enforcing sanctions. REPO is short for Russian Elites, Proxies, and Oligarchs. We'll work with other countries to investigate and prosecute oligarchs and individuals allied with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The group is now looking at 50 individuals, and 28 names have been announced publicly. The effort faces several challenges, including various laws across countries that could make legal discovery difficult and the risk of penalizing innocent people whose property may be tied up in an oligarch's seized assets. And time also presents a problem. Investigations can drag on for months and for years. Now, this group will work alongside another group called KleptoCapture, led by the Justice Department, to enforce the economic sanctions within the U.S. imposed on Russia and its billionaires, working with the FBI, Treasury, and other federal agencies. Now, the government says the sanctions imposed already have had a biting effect on the Russian economy. Russia lost access to vital imports for its military gear and more than $600 billion in assets held by its central bank, and faces ongoing rounds of targeted sanctions against companies and the wealthy elite who are tied to Putin. The Russian stock market has yet to reopen since the sanctions began, while the ratings company Fitch said Russia would likely default if it uses rubles to repay dollar-dominated debt that is due this week. The Institute of International Finance estimates the Russian economy will shrink by 15% this year instead of the 3% growth that was expected pre-invasion. That's an 18% swing. Imagine that. Well, even with all the negative news, Wall Street had a field day. The Dow gained a whopping 518 points to close at 34,063, while the NASDAQ picked up 487 points to finish the trade at 13,436, and the S&P 500 added 95 points to close at 4,357. All of this as the Fed raised interest rates by 0.25% and indicated its rates would hit between 1.75% and 2%, which was a bit more hawkish than predicted. After the announcement, the Dow did fall into negative territory but did rebound following a presser by Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Of the S&P 11 sectors, the biggest gainers today were the ones that had lost the most in recent days, with consumer discretionary and technology stocks up by more than 3%, while communications and financial services added almost 3%. And finally, there is this. Learning how to cook, or taking those kitchen skills up a notch, appears to be something many Americans did during the pandemic. And in an ironic twist, some of the companies that helped people find their inner chef are now the ones paying the price. Experts tell the Washington Post that meal kit subscription services are struggling, contending with a boom in competition and high consumer acquisition costs, as well as decreased demand as the pandemic recedes and inflation eats into food budgets. Besides that, people are going out to eat at restaurants once again. In addition to all of the new kits on the block, the competition from restaurants, there is also competition from grocery stores, including the giant Kroger, now vying for a slice of the meal kit pie. Well, that's a wrap for today's business news headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right this moment was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.